it's tough to sort of sum up what's happened the last 3 days with yourself, with Ken Hitchcock, with Dave King, but everybody who was anybody in hockey, you knew they were here next week for the summit, but this was incredibly well attended, incredibly well covered, and there was probably more interest than you might have even imagined 3-4 months ago.
You know, I was really happy with it, and I think that, like you just said, generally speaking, to be able to get a lot of different hockey people under one roof and, you know, just sort of be proactive and work on the game of hockey. I think initially when we talked about doing this, people said, well, what's the matter? The game is great. Like, why are you guys going to change it? We said, we're not changing it. We agree that the game is great. It's all the more reason to study it and to learn more about it and not wait until something is broken before you start looking for information.
Brendan Shanahan is the Vice President of Hockey and Business Development, joining us on the Greg Brady Show. And I'd say this, you're in meetings a lot now. You sit down in meetings and someone will say, just throw anything out there. No idea is a bad idea. That's kind of the approach that you took. You said, well, let's throw everything against the wall. Let's see it acted out by these junior players, these prospects, and then we can judge it better. Instead of it just being an idea, you make it a real concept.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, there were some bad ideas, but not everything made it to the camp. But I didn't want people to be afraid or embarrassed to make a suggestion, and because I really do feel that even if something was something we really didn't think would work, there's still an opportunity that was going to teach us something about the game.
What did you see on ice that at first you might have thought, geez, I don't know, I can't really see this transpiring? Then you saw it. You saw it played out with the players, and you said, this was a better concept than I ever thought it would be.
You know, there are some things that have a lot of support and interest in the NHL, but as far as the question you just asked me, what was one of the things I didn't think would be good that was better than I thought was the 3-on-3 in the overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I like overtime. I like the way it is. I like the idea of maybe doing the long line change in overtime, mm-hmm. to increase some of the scoring chances and outnumbered rushes. You know, it's one thing to watch that from the stands and you might say, I didn't see a big change or a big effect, but when you talk to the coaches after the long line change on the 4-on-4, they were saying, boy, you know, we had some tired players out there. We wanted to get off. They couldn't get off. We had some bad line changes that resulted in odd man rushes. And so that was interesting. But then, again, like I said, when they went to the 3-on-3, it was a lot better than I thought. I didn't really care too much for the 2-on-2, but, that's just one example.
Yeah, that's the thing. One guy blows an edge, blows a tire in the corner on a 2-on-2 in overtime in front of 20,000 people, and it's going to be a long, hard sprint to get back and break up lots of 2-on-1 chances, isn't it?
Yeah, but even with the 3-on-3, I've started to notice, and I noticed as a player as well, when I was in New York, we had guys like Jágr and Straka, some really good goal scorers on our team, but yet we would start 4-on-4 with our checking pair, and we would finish 4-on-4 with our checking pair because our coach liked our goalie. We thought we had a better chance to win the shootout. So you're almost playing for that tie, and that's really not fair for the fans.
Had you seen that creep up even when you were playing and getting to step away and you're working, but be a fan with objectivity this year? Did you look at it and notice that with 3 minutes to go in a tie game, team on the road, maybe playing a better team, they're going to tighten up and they're going to shut it. They want that point. They need that point, so they got to at least get to the extra period.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. I think that coaching is such a difficult thing to do, and if your team gets scored on, for instance, everybody loves to score and win a game in overtime. But if you lose a game in overtime, there's been a breakdown. It's someone's fault. There's been a mistake. There's some sort of miscommunication. You can go back to a videotape usually and point to something. Whereas if you lose in a shootout, as a coach, you throw your arms up in the air and say, I did all I could do. The rest was in the hands of the players. So, you look at putting in maybe a little bit of 3-on-3 that we did in this camp, and I'm not implying at all that it's NHL ready, but it's just one of those things that I didn't think it would look that great. I wasn't sure if it would still feel hockey authentic, and it really was. I mean, it was impossible not to get scoring chances. I mean, if you had a 2-on-1 one way and you didn't score, it usually meant there was a 2-on-1 back the other way. So it was, and you had players on the ice that had such great scoring chances that they were tired after 30 seconds because they were really, truly racing up and down the ice. So I thought that was fun to watch. I was interested in the hybrid icing.
Yeah.
I thought that in one of the scrimmages, you weren't allowed to ice the puck if you were shorthanded. It was sort of fun to watch the players, handle that. And that's the other thing I wanted to talk about, sort of the second part of this camp, which was the scouting part and the fact that we had these top-rated 17-year-olds for next year's draft. And some of these kids really elevated themselves in the eyes of our scouts and our general managers, and I think really improved their standing going into their draft year.
Well, and I was going to ask about that from your perspective. As you look back on your junior career, you're playing, coming into a second year in London, you're going to get drafted that year. You just don't know where. These kids must have just been gleaming, so excited to be part of this. Not only are they part of something that's revolutionary and that's looking to improve the sport that we all love, but yes, you're right. Everybody who's anybody is getting an extra look at them before their season even starts.
Yeah, not only that, but they're seeing them up close. They're seeing them walk past them in the hallways in their t-shirts, and they get to see also how much does this player, young man, grow in the next 10 months. And it doesn't matter whether you're a player that's rated in the late first round or early second round. There's you want to advance, or if you're a player that's rated in the top three, you might want to go first overall. And Nugent Hopkins, Ryan Nugent Hopkins just was tremendous at the camp and was a guy that really a lot of scouts were already comparing to Joe Sakic. So this was a camp where these players really served themselves well by being here.
Are they different than you were when you were 17? I mean, beyond the obvious, we all think we were all a bunch of idiots when we were 16 or 17. But you had a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, and I know being around junior hockey that players get that. You won't meet more mature 15 and a half, 16-year-olds than a lot of these guys that play in the league. I wish people knew more about that.
Well, I'll say on the ice that they're all more skilled than we were when we were 17. It was just it's a different game now than it was then. There are a lot of similarities that, about a hockey player from any era, but I would say right now all these kids, their skating and their stick skills, especially their stick skills, are just so far advanced. But you're right, the maturity, the dedication, some of these kids flew all the way back from Czech Republic, having just played in the under-18 tournament, went home, changed the clothes, and got back in a plane and came to Toronto. That's impressive to me. That says something about a kid's character, his willingness to show up at a camp like this, to play when he's really a little bit tired. And our scouts knew that. Our scouts knew that all of these players were playing, or not all of them, some of these players were playing after doing a lot of traveling. And, you sometimes want to see as a scout who's got the guts to go and do that. Who's got the guts to go and play hard and to still play well when they're a little bit tired. So there were a lot of different reasons other than a lot of things you saw in this camp that our general managers were really pleased about, and the kids just handled themselves really well.
Brendan Shanahan, our guest, the NHL VP of Hockey and Business Development, of course, a three-time Stanley Cup champion as well. Ken Hitchcock was on with Bob McCown a couple weeks ago, and he referenced it, and maybe he wouldn't have been able to, if he was right now, he's going to coach again, but if he was one of the 30 NHL coaches. But he indicated he really had soured on the shootout. And I don't know whether you talking to fans, talking to players, maybe there's a place for it. I don't ever feel like it's going away, that overtime will morph, whether it's 3-on-3 or whatever, and you still may end the game that way. I don't know that we'll ever have a tie again. Do you feel like players are souring on just the overall concept of it, that it's become anticlimactic compared to overtime?
I don't think it has. I think if anything, you in hockey or you look for trends, and when something starts to happen too much, maybe you start to study why. I think maybe there's a little bit of a concern recently that, do we have too many shootouts? Maybe, but if we keep going in the direction, everybody would sort of probably say, We definitely do. But I think people still love the shootouts. I think that, people don't, they want to have a winner and a loser at the end of the night. And, I think that we did look at shootouts. And again, that's why we looked at 3-on-3 is maybe adding an opportunity to, number one, it's entertaining. And number two, it gives us an opportunity to win a game, before the shootout.
When you look back on the meetings you guys had during the lost season, I'll call it. I mean, look, the lost season it's not good for anybody. It wasn't good for players, owners, people that make the popcorn, ticket takers. But you must
wait
have.
Wait a second. I had a great year. I had so much fun that year. So speak for yourself.
Yeah, no, family oriented and whatnot. Yes,
exactly. I went to the World Series. I saw football games. No, I'm just kidding.
And that was lost first season, wasn't it? Why do I think fall of 04 was lost first year on the air? Maybe it was 05.
Yeah, it was a tough year.
All right, fine. So, when people come up and talk, when people come up and talk to you about the work you guys did in your meetings and how the game changed and whatnot, is it? I mean, it must be flattering to a great extent for people to say, "I love the changes," and maybe without missing a year again, some of these things wouldn't have transpired, and certainly not as quickly as they did.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it would have happened if we didn't have a year off. So I guess it's one of the positives. None of us like to look back and see on the back of your hockey card, a missed season. Mm-hmm. Just like where did that go? And it wasn't good, for the league. It wasn't good for the players, and it especially wasn't good for the fans and people who have a love for the game of hockey. But if there was one positive, it is that it gave. We were all out of work. Coaches, refs, players, managers, everybody was out of work. And, at a certain point, I guess we got, tired of sitting around the house, and we got together and we started talking about the game of hockey. And in a lot of ways, hockey got fixed. I don't know, or at least put back in the right direction. And I don't know whether that would have happened if we were all, we were training and the coaches were getting season and the general managers were signing players. The fans were buying tickets. I don't know that we would have all taken the time to really step back and reexamine the game and get it back on the right track.
We got about 45 seconds. I wanted to ask you about Lost Ending. You were communicating with fans all year long about the show. You had your theories. We all did. The last 5 minutes with Jack and Jack's dad, I rewatch it a lot, Brendan. It makes me bawl like a baby. How did you enjoy the last 10 minutes of the program?
I loved my opinion is I loved if it was a 2-hour finale, I loved an hour and 59 minutes of it. And by the way, I nailed it. I said Hugo was gonna be the new Jacob. I loved the show. I missed it. And you're right. You are a baby if you bawled.
Oh, come on. His dad's hugging him. He realizes he's dead. Oh, I can't handle it.
You know what? I was too upset at that point to realize he was dead. I couldn't. I was like, no, don't be dead. Don't be dead. But I love the show, and I love every once in a while you find another Lost fanatic, and it's just a little embarrassing we're doing this on the radio.
You got 3 Stanley Cup rings. Would you give one away for 2 more years of the show? Then you still got 2. give the 97 one away. Come on.
Now you're getting crazy.